It's good to be in Father's house. Can't think of any other place I'd rather be today on his holy day. Does anyone here have a need in your life? Anybody got a need? I think we all do, don't we? Most everyone there. We all have several important needs. And I'd even go a step further and say that we all here this morning have major needs. And sometimes we can't seem to see how they'll be met. You could be looking at devastating family problems, financial difficulty, looking at a problem with a child. You may even see your own souls and realize that, hey, just maybe I'm lost. You might be looking at a disease and wondering what lies ahead. And some of us may be looking at our parents, realizing they won't be here forever, which I've been doing this past couple of months. I mean, I could stand here all day and not even exhaust the list of problems that are in this world and many of us are facing because of the problems of this world. So in the midst of our problems, we need somebody, don't we? We need someone that can help us, who we can turn to for our solution. We need God in our lives. We need him to lift our burdens. We need him to move mountains. And I don't mean the physical mountains that you see around Bay Roberts or around Newfoundland. I'm talking about the mountains in our lives. We all have them. And sometimes we don't need God to give us the whole loaf of bread, the whole loaf. You see, God knows what we need, so sometimes God just tells us, you just need a few crumbs. That's the title of the message this morning. You're going to need your Bibles because we're going to take the 7th chapter of Mark, verses 24 to 30, and we're going to tear it apart this morning. We're going to have a look at it. We're going to dig right into it this morning. But before we do, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, I stand here as a mere broken vessel. And I ask, Father, that you would use my lips this morning to bring forth this message that you would have me speak today. Lord, I am not perfect, so I ask that you would speak to my heart as well. And Father, that we may fully realize that when we are faced with the different situations and mountains in our lives, we only need to turn to you and trust in you, knowing that whatever the outcome is, because we know you as our personal Savior, we will win. So, Father, bless this congregation this morning. Make your presence known to us through your word today, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of chapter 7 of the book of Mark, Jesus is talking with them old Pharisees. Gotta love them in a way, you know, because you gotta give them credit. Because they're trying their best. They're trying their level best, as we'd say, to really trip up Jesus. And they really think they can do that. That's the funny part. I have to laugh when I read these things in the Bible, the things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees try to trick him with. And I'm laughing as I read it. And I'm thinking, haven't they got this by now? They can't trick him. So they've come, and some of the scribes have come together from Jerusalem to see him. And if we turn to Mark 7 and look at verses 14 to 16, he has just told them and his disciples and the multitudes that nothing in and of itself is unclean. There is nothing that, verse 15, there is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. He told that the defilement is from within. Christ's message was simple there. What a man is in his heart is what he truly is. So what we are in our hearts, we truly are. And then just as soon as the encounter was over, Jesus and his disciples go to Tyre and Sidon, which, by the way, Sidon is modern-day Lebanon, in verse 24. And it's the heart of the Gentile territory. So he's not going to this Jewish town. He's going to a Gentile town, which is what we all are. And once again, they try to get some rest from the pressures of the ministry. However, we're told in verse 24, he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. They couldn't hide him. He couldn't get a rest. And that's always the case. When Jesus has taken a residence in a person's life, either it's a family, a church, and a community, or wherever, he simply cannot be hidden. He should be reflected in our lives. The word will always get out that he is in the house. And that is why we should do everything we can to ensure that we create an atmosphere that he can work among us. We are the Lord's temple. And we should be always open and susceptible because the Father is always in the house. We are his house. We are his people. So here's another test for the Savior. A burdened mother locates Jesus. She finds him. She was determined. She begins to petition him for the help she needs. She faces several challenges, but she persists and she gets what she came for. And we're going to take a look at those challenges this morning. And we're going to start with verses 25 and 26. We're going to look at her request and the reason, first of all, why she came. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Now all you mothers, you all have children. Otherwise you wouldn't be called a mother. But I don't have children, so I'm not a mother. But I look after my own mother. And I will do anything in my power that I can to get her the best of what she needs. And I will stop at nothing within God's guidelines to try and provide that for her. Hence why I'm taking her home. So I can only imagine a little bit at how this mother felt. Her daughter had been possessed with an unclean spirit, a demon. That mother must have been devastated. She must have been at her wit's end. So much at her wit's end, she stopped at nothing until she found the Christ, until she found Jesus. She was concerned about her daughter, and I would say very worried about her daughter. The child was demon-possessed and acting violently in anger. She really needed help in a very desperate way. She was a desperate woman. And, of course, the same type of situation is told of another demon-possessed child. It's told to us in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and verse 22. The second thing about this mother is the reason she cried. I know moms have cried for their children. I've seen my mom cry for her children. And there's not one mother here can tell me, and this goes for fathers too. We're not all ladies here this morning. I've seen some men cry. I've seen my dad cry for his children. Although he doesn't know, he won't know, I suppose. He's gone now. He's gone 19 years. But he never knew that I saw him. We shed tears. You know, there's nothing wrong with tears, folks. Tears are a language God understands. Shed tears. Bare your soul to your Heavenly Father. Lay it all at his feet. Trust in him. Matthew 15 and verse 23 tells us, if we turn back to Matthew, we also get the story there. Matthew chapter 15, verse 23, Matthew's version of the events. He says, he, that's Jesus, answered her not a word. He never said a word at first. So when she first came to him, he didn't open his mouth. He was pretty much ignoring her. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out to us. This woman was shouting. She wasn't talking like I am. She was literally shouting to Jesus for the help she needed. I can almost picture this lady dressed in that modern-day attire and the tears streaming down her face. And she sees Jesus just down there. And she's crying out to him, Lord! Why was she so frantic? She was heartbroken over the condition of her daughter, her child. And she was determined to get her child the help she needed. Thirdly, the mother and her request is the reason she called. So we have the reason she came, the reason she cried, and the reason she called in verse 25 of Mark 7. It tells us that this woman had heard of him. You know, back in those days, it's pretty much like our outports here in Bay Roberts and all of that. There's not many people you don't know. You've heard of them through the telephone or in passing or through a friend. We all pretty much know each other. Or we've heard of so-and-so or this person. So she had heard of Jesus, and perhaps she heard about how Jesus had healed all manner of diseases, about how he opened the eyes of the blind, Bartimaeus, how he had unstopped the ears of the deaf, about how he had driven the demons from other people. She may have heard about how Jesus had gone over in the country of the Gadarenes and had delivered the man possessed by a legion of demons. She may have said, if he can deliver that man from a legion of demons, and that's quite a few many, surely he can deliver my daughter from the grip of one devil. You would think, wouldn't you? How many of us this morning can identify with this poor, anxious woman? You know, perhaps we're dealing with a child that is out of control. Perhaps you are at your wit's end over some situation in your life and you need help. Perhaps you have exhausted every possible means that you know of at your disposal. And now you've reached the end of your rope. You don't know where to turn. You take your rope. You tie a knot in it. And you grip that with all your heart. You hang on. Maybe what you need is a Savior. Maybe what you need is restoration and forgiveness. maybe what we all need is to take a lesson from this woman. Get that need to Jesus. Don't swallow it all yourself. Don't swim in that sea of unhappiness and fear and tormentedness. Take that need, get it to him. He's waiting. Get your need to Jesus. And regardless of what we all face today, regardless of what you face today, the answer will definitely be found in him. He can move your mountain, meet your need, save your soul, forgive your sins, touch your loved ones, you name it, he can do it. But there's a catch. You have to come to him. You have to get that need to Jesus. And don't be afraid to call on him. He invites you to come. And he tells us that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He tells us that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33 and verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And here we thought we knew it all. What a rude awakening we got. Things, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I think that's what he's going to do to this woman. Do you think? In verses 27 to 28 of Mark 7, we have the mother and her resolve. She comes to Jesus for help. And when she doesn't get the response that she imagines she's going to get, she stays after Jesus. She hounds him. That's what we would call it today. I got to tell you, this woman got gumption. She's got courage and she's very brave. She stays after him. She hounds him until she gets what she wants. But first, she has to overcome the obstacles of faith. It seems she met resistance to her request at every turn. First of all, he ignored her when she first came. Let's look at some of the other obstacles she faced. And remember now where she is. She's in Gentile territory. Okay. Verse 26 indicates the obstacle of race. Indicates that this woman was from Tyre and Sidon. This woman, according to Matthew 15 and verse 22, it tells us she was a Canaanite. And they were descended from cursed people, from the cursed tribe. So she's in Gentile territory. When Joshua led the people of Israel into Canaan, they had been commanded to totally destroy the Canaanites. Remember? So secondly, she was from a region that was known for vile religious practices. So this woman, this poor woman, she had two strikes against her from the very start. Then she had the obstacle of religion. Here she is, a Gentile mother, crying out to the Jewish Messiah. Now, isn't that something? She says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She had no right to come to Jesus through the door of Judaism. She was a Gentile. And according to what we read earlier in Matthew chapter 15, verse 23, Jesus gave her the response that she deserved. He answered her not a word. He ignored her. But there's a reason, and we're going to see that later. Then she had the obstacle of racism. When the disciples see and hear this woman, the Gentile woman, calling out to this Messiah, they react by telling Jesus, "Send her away. She's not one of us. We don't want nothing to do with her. She's a Gentile. They're heathens. Send her away." How often do we do that? In our own churches? Within our own places of work? Or maybe sometimes we're at the mall and we see someone. And we discussed this in Sabbath school this morning, Steve. That someone who's not Seventh Day Adventist, oh, we don't want nothing to do with them. Maybe they're Pentecostal or they're Anglican. And should I say, maybe they're Roman Catholic. But let me tell you something, God's got people everywhere. Amen. And we can learn a few lessons from these people. There was an obstacle of rejection. As our Savior Jesus speaks to this woman, his words appear harsh to our ears. "Let the children be filled first." It's basically in our language today. "Hold on now, woman. You're not the first here. These children are first. We're not going to give the children's bread and give it to you. You're just an old dog." That was harsh. No one likes to be called that. His words must, imagine, coming from the Messiah. His words must have shaken her to the very core of her being. And his works probably even broke her heart. Matthew 15, verses 23 to 26 adds much detail concerning this conversation. Let's turn there. Matthew 15, 23 to 26. "Now when he had come," oops, sorry, wrong chapter. Matthew 15, 23 to 26. "But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out to us.'" Listen to this. But he answered and he said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What cutting words. "I'm not here to help you. You're a Gentile. I'm just here to help my own people. Those of the house of Israel, the lost sheep." But what did she do? She wasn't letting that stop her. "Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" So she has a lot of obstacles. The race, religion, racism, objection. And then she has the obstacle of reality. The realities of this situation are harsh. Her daughter was possessed by the devil. She was a member of a doomed race. And these religious men, they didn't care about her or her situation at all. You know, some of us are probably looking at some of these obstacles in our own lives today, or in the lives of our loved ones. You might be a lost person, and you may know that you need Jesus. But you feel like you have no right to come to him. I've heard a lot of people say, "Oh, when I get over this, or I take care of that, then I'll come. I'll feel right coming to him then." You know you're not from a doomed race. You have discovered that religion, you know you are from a doomed race. You've discovered that religion does not work. You've experienced the rejection of the religious people around you, yet you still want to see your life changed. Well, there's a way that can be done, and it's very simple. That's by coming to Jesus. And he will not turn you away, John, as he tells us in John 6 and 37. Others have been praying and seeking God about matters that trouble our hearts. We've been praying for each other. We've cried out to him and asked him to do this or that in our life, and there has been no answer. You feel like giving up. Well, let me encourage you, God's silence is not an indication of God's unwillingness to meet your need. Let me repeat that. God's silence is not an indication of God's unwillingness to meet your need. God's silence is served to temper our faith and to remind us that he operates on his time, not ours. Let me remind you, we don't tell God what to do. And when we try, I believe he actually laughs, and rightly so. He will operate on his time. But we need to be persistent. Persist in seeking the Lord, and in his time, we'll see every barrier fall. Your faith will not be defined by what you receive from God, but what it takes to stop you from getting to God. Your faith will not be defined by what you receive from God, but what it takes to stop you from getting to God. So I'm going to ask you, what's stopping you? What's stopping us? In verse 27, it's the opportunities of faith. As Jesus speaks to her, he never slams the door of hope in her face. You notice? He was harsh, but the door of hope was never slammed in her face. He says, let the children be filled first. The word first was actually what this broken-hearted woman needed to hear. The woman took that to mean that seconds were available. You ever go to the church potluck? When you go to the church potluck, usually, I know it's St. John's Church, so I have to base it on that. We always let the visitors go first. That doesn't mean there's no food left. There's seconds for all of us. So she took that to mean there's seconds available. You see, these obstacles that were thrown at her by Jesus were not placed there to discourage and defeat this lady, but to mature her faith. Let's have a look at how this progressed. Matthew 15 and verse 22, Mark 7 and 25. I won't take the time to read them now. But in those verses, she calls on Jesus based on his role as the Jewish Messiah. She receives no help there. She has no right to feeling she has no right to approach him on that ground. Number two, Matthew 15, 24 to 25, and Mark 7, 27. She hears Jesus tell her that his mission here on this earth is to the nation of Israel. When she hears this, she moves beyond seeing him as a Jewish Messiah and now sees him as her only hope. She sees him as being worthy of praise. In verse 25, this mother bows down to him, humbles herself at his feet, gives him the worship she deserves, and appeals to him for the help she needs. Do you see what Jesus is doing? Seemed harsh, didn't it, at first? But Jesus always has a method to our madness. In Matthew 15, 26 to 27, Mark 7, 27, she now hears Jesus compare her to a dog. Well, I don't think I'd like to be compared to a dog, would you? Now, the word dog here in this scripture is the word, and I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce this right, kunion, K-U-N-I-O-N. And what it means is a little dog. Doesn't mean a mangy-looking creature or a dirty old dog, but a little puppy that is a beloved pet in the home. So at first, when you're reading that, that's what will come to your mind. See, we need to dig a little deeper. But it actually, in this phrase, it means a beloved pet in a home. And we all know how we love our pets, don't we? I know I do. Things to worry over. It refers to an animal that's looked on as part of the family. So, Jesus is telling her, you're part of the family. And I like to imagine that Jesus has a twinkle in his eyes. He calls her this. And she immediately catches that meaning of a beloved puppy sitting under the table while the family eats a meal, or a cat. And sometimes we'll have a bit of veggies and we'll toss it down to Candy, or Candy loves, my cat loves asparagus tips. She loves bananas. Can't open a banana, she's right over and wants some. She knows how to open it, she can't crack it. She knows how to do it. So we just give our little pets something from the table, don't we? A few crumbs from the table. And of course our pet is sitting there, and I picture Candy and all our pets looking up at us, you know, those little beady eyes. And right innocent and looking, hoping that they're going to get something from the table. Because they can smell it. They can smell the food. They just want someone to acknowledge it and give them a little bit. Look what she says in Mark 7. This woman says in Mark 7:28. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs, the little puppies, our beloved pets, under the table, eat from the children's crumbs. Now, at some point in time, we're all messy eaters. Ketchup does not get along with me. I do not get along with ketchup. Because wherever it is, it's going to be on me before the day's over. But sometimes when we're eating, we'll drop things. If we're slicing bread, sometimes the crumbs will fall on the floor or on the counter. I mean, we all have to sweep our kitchen or the meal room when we're finished, especially at potlucks. So she says, even those little puppies eat under the table, eat from the children's crumbs. She's not asking for everything on the table. She's not asking for the entire meal. She's not asking for oatmeal patties and mashed potato and green peas, carrot and turnip and gravy and some apple pie on the side there. She's not asking for any of that. She's just asking for the little puppy's portion. Just asking for the crumbs. Do you see how Jesus took this woman and her small, small faith? I think you need probably a microscope. And led her along and helped her faith to grow. You see, the obstacles of faith that we looked at, and there are many more, almost always turn out to be opportunities in disguise. You see, God sees things when we can't. He knows what's coming. He knows what he has planned for us. He knows what we need, and we will get it when we need it. He may even allow things to happen. And I've experienced a lot of that in my 52 years on this planet. In other people's lives, I've seen it. In my own life, my own families. He will allow things to happen if it's going to make you more closer to him and bring you to your knees. When we continue to seek the Lord in spite of every hindrance, we will eventually see him do what needs to be done. Verse 28, the obligations of faith. I think a lot of people will probably have given up. I think a lot of us today sometimes give up. I mean, she had so much going against her. Jesus ignored her. Disciples played the race card. Jesus compared her to a dog. And yet, she persisted. She did not give up. Most of us would raise our hands in frustration and storm off in anger because we don't get what we want when we want it. Oh, the pitiful people we are. What pitiful human beings we are. Oh, I want it, I want it now, and if I can't have it, oh, I'm just going to be so mad. I want this, Lord, I want it now, hurry up, get with it. Let's remember who we're talking to. We're talking to the man who created us and the man that can take us out. We're talking to our Heavenly Father who loves us so much. And because he sees the future that we can't, we need to hold him in very high reverence. We've got to realize, folks, this world has to realize they can't have what they want when they want it. But this woman persisted in spite of everything was thrown into her path. Why did she persist? Because there was too much at stake. It was the life of her daughter. She needed to be delivered from bondage, this little girl. Her family needed to be saved. She needed help. And she was determined to get it. A crumb might have been all she could get, but she knew that crumb from his hand was more than enough. Just like the woman who touched his garment. She just touched the hem of his garment, we often sing. And her infirmity was healed. It's just a crumb. How much does our problems mean to us today? Have we encountered obstacles along the way that have made us throw up our hands and quit seeking God about the answer that you need or that you want? Friends, there is too much at stake. Too much at stake. We need to be like this poor mother and keep bringing our needs to Jesus until he answers. We need to hound him. Forgive me, Lord, but that's the only word I can think of right now. We need to hound you. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And in his time, remember his time, not our time. We need to forget self. He will hand down a morsel of answered prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8, Jesus tells us to ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What more can you ask for? He's after telling us. So what's our problem? What are we waiting on? Why do we suddenly pray once or twice for a specific need and then all of a sudden we stop? Keep praying. Pray it. Keep praying for that need until you feel you can't pray no more for it. You pray for it again. And you keep at it. Because there is a reward. And this mother got her reward in verses 29 to 30 of Mark 7. One, the first reward, Jesus responds to her faith. He was amazed by the depth of her faith. We need to get faith like that. We need to get faith like that. In fact, this woman is only one of two people Jesus referred to as having great faith. The other person was a Roman centurion who came to Jesus to have Jesus heal his sick servant. And amazingly, both of those people were Gentiles. There's a message here for the Gentile people, folks. That's us. The hard words that Jesus used had tested her faith, and her faith had risen to the challenge. Yes, we will be tested, but it's because we are the rough stones and we need to become like diamonds. We are being prepared for our entry through those heavenly gates. We can't have no rough edges on us in heaven. We must be smooth like a diamond, a real diamond. Her faith exceeded that of the people he had come to save. Here was a Gentile dog, that's what he called her, that had more faith than the Jewish scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees and priests. Isn't it amazing? And this is the kind of faith that excites our Lord. Jesus rewarded her faith, number two. He rewarded her faith by giving her exactly what she asked for. He healed her daughter. Her faith was so strong that she didn't need to ask for proof, but took Jesus at his word and turned around, went home to her family. And when she arrived home, who did she see? She found her daughter healed and her family restored. What a blessing. What a challenge. Now I know that there are some of us here, and some of our family members and other people we know, looking at situations and problems that are every bit as hard and painful and heartbreaking. Your heart's been broken millions and millions of pieces, as is faced by this woman. And I know that many of us, and many of you, have prayed and sought God about the situations and things that remain the same. I know the devil and the flesh are whispering in our ears. They're saying it's no use. God doesn't care. Go away. Don't bother him with any of this anymore. It's never going to change. Oh, no, that's what Satan says, all right. I know that some folks are discouraged and feel defeated, and you wonder if there's any use or any help for you. Well, I proved it. I know today there is hope. Today might be the day when the Master responds to your cries. Today might be the day when you see that mountain moved in your life. Today might be the day when you come to him and call on him to be saved. Today might be the day when God speaks to your soul and says, it's going to be all right. I've taken care of it. Today might be the day when his peace replaces your pain and you get the help you need. But we've got to bring those needs to him and keep bringing them to him. Bring it with the faith in your heart that he will hear you, that he will help you, and he will fix it. It may not be as we expect it to be. And it may be something we'll all have to live with. Maybe something we have to overcome through faith in Jesus Christ and his help. But bring it to him and place it in his nail-scarred hands. Watch him take it and make it as it ought to be. And then there are some people, well, maybe you're saying, well, Alice, you don't understand how big my problem is. No, that's true, I don't. I don't understand maybe how big your problem is, and you probably don't understand how big mine is. But let's just look for a minute at what Jesus can do. Look, there's Jairus. He places his daughter in the hand of Jesus and raises Jesus. Jesus raises her from the dead. And look, there's Lazarus. 4 days in the tomb. Now, they had no embalming fluids like we have today. 4 days. Now, can you imagine the scent, the smell? 4 days. Mary and Martha places him in the hands of Jesus. And Lazarus lives. You know, Jesus might have came 4 days too late, but he came right on time. Look, there's a multitude that needs to be fed, and they have no food. A few loaves and a few fish are placed in the hands of Jesus, and suddenly everyone has enough. There's so much left over. Look, there are the disciples in a boat in the midst of a big storm in the middle of the lake in the dead of night. They're afraid. They're going to die. And they place themselves in the hand of Jesus, and they arrive safely to shore. And Jesus says, "Peace, be still." Look, there is a leper, and he's healed. His ruined flesh is smooth as a baby. Look, there is a blind man, and he can see. Look, there's a deaf man, he can hear. Look, here's a crippled man, and he can walk. Look, there's a possessed man with a demon, and he is free. Look, there's Jesus. He's hanging on a cross. He is dead. They take his body down. They place it in the grave. Look, for 3 days, there is nothing. Hope is gone. And it appears, oh, well, I guess Satan has won. But wait, look again. He lives. He lives. If he can do all these things, they're just a small sample of what he can do for us. He can answer our prayers. He can save our loved ones, save your soul, forgive you, restore you to that place of fellowship. He can take whatever is wrong in your life, and he can make it right for you. In closing, a little crumb from the Master's table might be all you need today. Others may need him to drop the whole platter down for you. I don't know what you need, but God knows. And he'll help you get what you need. Regardless of what you need today, come to Jesus. He can get it. Even if you sought him for it in the past and received no answer, today might be the day when he says to you what he said to this mother in Mark 15:28, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Get to him. Get what you need from him. Get your need to him today. Don't waste another moment. And persist. And you will hear him say, "Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt." Lord, dismiss us now with your blessing. Give us traveling mercies, Lord. And Father, I ask this morning that each one of us, that you would increase our faith. And Lord, when we do go through fiery trials, that it's only our dross to consume, and our goal to refine, and you would help us to wait on you, Lord, and have understanding and faith, and give us trust, more faith in you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.